Hey guys and gals, what are we all doing tomorrow?
Voting!
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast, streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can catch that live stream every Monday night at 6:30-ish p.m. Eastern Standard Time by visiting digitalstreamradio.com, or for our Patreon subscribers, you can actually watch us via live stream video so that you guys could see what we're doing here in the studio. We have an interesting show for you today. There's a little bit of everything that we're going to be talking about. Actually, today, on today's show, we're going to have someone joining us. Her name is Hannah, and she's in studio. She's going to be talking about some of the things that people use dating apps for. She's doing some research on that, comparing what the apps are used here in the U.S. versus what they're used in the U.K., and coming up with some really interesting data that we could use to break down some of the uses for these applications that are available on your phones and on computers and all that good stuff. My name is Tom, and I am your host. And as always, I am here with my amazing co-host, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all. Nick or Trish.
And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
All right. So
we nailed it that time.
We did.
See what happens when we include him in the opener, Nick?
So
I blame you.
Oh, that's why. I'm like, what happened to my notes here? There was some stuff that I was supposed to be saying. Anyway, so Hannah, hi. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. And
Do you not have a headset right now?
Oh, you can put a headset on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there you go. Sorry.
Why don't you throw that on? Can you hear us better now?
That's better. There we go.
Excellent.
All right. So welcome and thank you so much for being here with us. You're doing some incredible work. You are joining us all the way from the UK. You're here on some, you're doing some work, some research in regards to some work that you're doing for the Public Health Institute at John Moores University in the UK. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Fantastic. So thank you for joining us. We're going to jump into our dish, and then once we're done doing all that good stuff, we're definitely going to jump in, and so you can tell us a little bit about what it is that you're doing with your work.
Okay, thank you.
So, actually, I do need to mention, too, Hannah reached out to us, and she wanted to come on the show to talk about her research, but she's also been listening to our show, and so that's how we connected. What do you think about the show?
Oh, I love it. It made me... I started listening to it a couple of months before I... or maybe about a month before I came, and it was really interesting listening to you guys talk about somewhere I knew I was going, and listening to you talk about kind of the queer community in New Haven and Connecticut. By the time I got here, I was like, oh, I kind of already feel like I know the name of some places.
Awesome.
It was lovely.
That's awesome. So have you been to any of the places that we've mentioned?
Yeah,
here on the show?
So I think I've been to a couple of the bars.
Okay.
And yeah, I've been to some... Do you all work in...
Nick and I work at Partners.
You guys work. I haven't been to Partners yet.
Oh, you have to
come. I haven't really got, like, my friend group's a bit older, and they nobody likes going out very late, so I tend
to
kind
honey,
of...
Well, honey, I'll tell you one thing. If you come to the bar, you're going to have a lot of friends.
Okay. Maybe definitely. I need to... It's a weird thing being somewhere where I don't know anybody and don't have... It's a strange... It's been fun, though.
Well, now you know us, and I'm sorry in advance.
So, all right. So we'll throw it around on the table. How is everyone doing, Nick? How are you?
I'm fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Just fine.
Yeah.
How was your weekend?
It was fine. Yeah. Nothing really too exciting.
It's like
usually I have a crazy story. Okay. So let's just like take it for what it is and say, Nick just had a fine weekend. Yeah.
And you know what? We'll take it because that's important. It's always good to have that one weekend to yourself and where you're saying, hey, you know, nothing happened.
No, and
thank
it was wonderful.
God.
Yeah.
And but Chris had an amazing weekend. Christopher, what
sure
did you do this weekend?
Well, it was really yesterday Sunday that was the most fun. My buddy Michael Brown and I, he's been on the show before. And
that's right.
Everybody knows we're symphony
buddies.
Yeah, that's right. And we're symphony buddies. So we took a trip up to the Bushnell yesterday. I'd got us tickets in advance listen to the Hartford Symphony. And apparently, I accidentally got us amazing seats. We were right in front of the orchestra, which is perfect because they were doing this piece, Robert Schumann's Konzertstück for four French horns. So we were right by the French horns when they were playing. It was absolutely incredible. But the best part about it was, because I was like, I felt like they kept looking at me. And I'm like, okay, Chris, they're not looking at you. They're just looking at their sheet music, you know? So the piece ends. I jump up and start cheering. We're walking out because that's leading to the intermission. And this woman stops me and she was like, boy, you were the first person to jump up when they finished. And I was like, yeah, I love that piece. So I walk to the bathroom and there are the four French horn players that had just come off from the stage. And I went up to them and I was shaking their hands and I'm like, you guys were incredible. I've been wanting to hear this piece live forever. They're like, were you the guy in the third row? And they're like, yeah, that was me. It's like, yeah, we saw you. They knew. They must have seen how much I was like in love with this piece.
Were you doing all your hand things and everything?
I was trying to keep my hands to myself. But
that's kind of hard to do,
especially for you.
Oh, my God. So I was trolling on Facebook like I normally do for videos and stuff, you know, when I'm bored. And I saw this one video and where the mother had her child and she was literally had him on a leash and she was dragging him because he didn't want to move. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's totally Christopher. And I think the guy ended up posting something about saying, you know, I asked the mother if, you know, if it was a rescue and she totally freaked out.
That's hilarious, actually. My mom would have been like, yes, yes, it is for me. Except it was different when I was on the leash. My mom was never dragging me. She was like holding on for dear life as I was trying to crawl into places I shouldn't be.
Yeah, that's how we are now for you.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you guys haven't been in my life lately and I found this massive bruise on my leg. So I blame you people.
No, not really, actually. I don't know what's going on here. There's something going on with my headset, guys. Yeah. Sorry.
All right.
We're having technical difficulties, and of course,
at least it's fucking recording. You know what I mean? I know, yeah.
I know. So you went to see this concert with Michael Brown. You had a great time.
Yeah.
And how's school going?
School's going very well.
How was math class this morning?
Yeah.
I didn't go to school today.
Mm-hmm. How did you guys know that already? I knew that already. And he's texting us. He's like, well, you know, I can't stay late because I've got a paper to write. I'm like, well, what did you do all day? I know you didn't go to class.
How did you not know I didn't go to class?
I was talking to Jose this morning. Of course. Not about you, but like you came up.
I woke up at 10:40 and I was like, well, class starts now. So that's not going to happen. But
it's fine. I rolled into work today and I was just like, is it 12 o'clock, Kathy? Why are you talking to me?
Well, I can give you a quick rundown with it. I got an 88 in math right now. I'm planning to get that to an A. I have a 99 in history because I got a 97 on my big paper. 92 in ethics, like 100 in English, and like 102 in music history. So that's my
okay, so I have an grades. Idea. I think we need to start a chart for Chris, like on the wall with stars.
I want stars.
I'm not putting shit on my wall with stars.
Fine, then I will do it. Okay. And I won't put it on his wall.
She wants rainbows. Like,
let me hear her out. Damn it.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, it's like an achievement wall. Chris actually passed math. He gets a rainbow.
Yay. I'm going to do
it. I thought it was a star. Now it's a rainbow. You see? Well, you see? Oh, no.
Exactly. Well, you said rainbows, and then it got me thinking, why not?
I just don't know about you two. I really don't.
How long have we known each other? You still don't know?
A long time.
I know, right? That's your own damn fault.
I'm a little worried.
Yeah, I know. Well, my weekend was pretty much uneventful. What I did Saturday was I sat on my couch all day, and I watched the final season of House of Cards. It was amazing.
That is so exciting.
It was. No. Well, you guys remember that Kevin Spacey, who was fired from the show for his issues with the sexual
assault in the past.
What would you call them? I'm not going to say, I don't want to diminish the claims themselves, but they were
accusations
against him, got him fired from House of Cards. And
so, no one went to see his newest movie. It made like $12 on the box office.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It seriously made like $140.
Good. He deserves that. So anyway, but Robin Wright, who's now taken the lead, she plays the president. Actually, as of the last season, I think that she was president because something happened to him and he sort of kind of had to take a sidestep to that. But she ended up becoming president. And so the season was just such a weird, like, freaky, like, there was a lot of really cool turn of events, and I think that they ended the show on a really cool, cool note. I think it was pretty cool. The ending was amazing. So
I'm taking a selfie.
I know. they're seeing you.
This is what happens when you're in studio with us.
All right, so not to be a downer, I do have to say one thing about this weekend, because mm-hmm. this weekend was my ex from college's birthday. Mm-hmm. He's obviously no longer with us, but I just wanted to give a shout out because Matt would have been 31 this weekend. And for some reason, I went through it on Sunday about it.
Well, happy birthday to Matt.
Happy birthday, MJ.
Rest in peace.
It's his fault. He dated me before he went, so that bitch ain't going to rest in peace.
Oh, Lord have mercy. All right, so listen.
You're crazy.
We're going to move it along. We've got a couple of things that we need to discuss before we sit down with our friend Hannah here and talk about her wonderful research. But Christopher, you need to tell us what it is that we're suggesting for a cocktail and why we are.
Oh, yeah.
So why don't you tell us?
Yes. Today we are going with a simple cocktail, but it's a cocktail with meaning. We are sipping on the Blue Wave today because that's what we're looking forward to tomorrow. Right, guys?
Yeah.
Right. So I was like, let's hear a little more excitement than the House of Cards. So,
oh, she's nasty.
It's a very simple cocktail. I just thought about it. You said 2 ounces of vodka, 1 ounce of blue curacao. You could also use citrus vodka if you'd like. A 1/2 ounce of fresh lemon juice. And then you top it off with some Sprite or club soda. And it's a nice blue cocktail. And that's your Blue Wave.
Blue Wave, which we're hoping for tomorrow.
That's right.
You know, it's been quite the unusual and crazy and disgusting past 24 months. And at this point, you know, the current president, #NotMine, is 2 years into his presidency. And it's been nothing but just unhealthy rhetoric coming out of that White House.
No.
I could say a lot of worse things about it, but I'm trying to save it for tomorrow because there's a lot going to be happening tomorrow. But I'm afraid. I'm very afraid because, you know, when 2016 came along, and I remember we were sitting here, well, not here, we were actually in my other apartment at the time. We got that sense that, you know, he was, that the country, oh, it's a blue wave, it's happening, you know, we got this in the bag. People became very complacent. They thought Hillary was going to
blow him out of the water.
Right? She was going to have her speech done at the Javits Center, which has a glass roof, right? And so it was very significant of, you know, a woman finally breaking that glass barrier and becoming president. And people thought that she had it in the bag, you know? The news people, all these polls were saying, oh my God, they're like, you know, 5 points up, 10 points up. She's got this in the bag.
Which is a good point. Don't trust the polls.
Don't trust the polls.
No vote.
And then, boom, he actually got all the electoral votes that he needed to become president. And we're in that same situation again, right? We find ourselves looking at all these polls saying, oh, so-and-so is 6 points up and this and that. And the Democrats, they're looking good. They look like they're going to take back the House and et cetera. But I don't trust these polls anymore. I don't trust those numbers until those numbers start being pulled in and counted and start being reported on tomorrow after, I believe, the East Coast starts closing some of their voting areas around 8 o'clock. So you're going to start seeing a lot of returns shortly after that. And I'm thinking that probably the first hour and a half of the night after 8 o'clock is going to be a really good indicator of where we're going,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Right. And looking forward to that all day.
But there's been a lot
and
of record breaking.
And we did say we're doing a show.
Yes. I'm just not going to be able to get it till like 8 o'clock. So we'll work it out.
No, that's fine. We'll make it work. The show's going to be a little bit on the late side. It wasn't any different the last time that we did it.
Except I hopefully won't. I'm pretty sure I won't be crying this time, at least.
We would hope not. Well, I mean,
that was fucking terrible.
Yes, yeah, it was.
I'll never forget that.
I didn't sleep that night.
Me neither. They called me out of work the next day.
Did they really?
They were like, they called me and they're like, they must have known because the way I answered, they're like, Chris, I was like, hello. They're like, just stay home today. I said, okay. And hung up. They literally called me out of work.
It literally should be a national morning, a day of mourning.
Should we ask Hannah what she thinks about our current administration?
Let me ask, absolutely. Hannah, what do you think about our administration at the moment?
exactly the same as you guys. And it's really interesting because I think I'm living in a bit of a bubble here because all of the people I know and work with are obviously kind of definitely left-leaning and horrified. So it feels almost slightly like a myth that there's actually people who genuinely support and think
right?
like Trump. Like,
that makes
are they real?
No, interesting.
You know, it's
yeah.
real. And women.
Yeah.
I can't.
It's insane. It's really interesting. One of the big differences I'm noticing over the last, being here for the midterms is just lack of timing being here is so interesting. How many adverts I am seeing on Facebook, on mm-hmm. television. We have quite strict low budgets for the advertising for when there's elections at home. So every advert break is pro this person or anti that person, but not even in favor of somebody. And then my Facebook is just full of adverts for various people, mm-hmm. parties, etc. It's unbelievable.
So you're saying that in the UK, when it comes to elections, there's budgets
yeah.
that they can't surpass as far as for advertising and things like
yeah,
that?
Yeah,
that should be here too. It's turning into a fucking shit show.
And it's the same. So it's not that, I mean, there is definite kind of advertising helps, but it feels very much here like whoever's richest, whoever has the most money behind them will win.
It's a reality TV show.
Yeah,
it really is. And you should see the numbers that these super PACs have raised for some of these people running for office. And mm-hmm. Texas, I believe, is one of the highest. Just millions
it's
and millions
incredible.
And millions.
You want to know something really kind of funny that I found out today? Because I forgot who posted it, but it was on Snapchat, of all things. And it was one of my good... Oh, it was one of my good friends from high school. He posted a video of all of Trump's 2020 materials being printed. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Why would you post that? He's like... He's a fucking asshole.
They're ready for it.
No, he's printing them to avoid his own tariffs that will go into effect after the fact.
Oh my God. It's incredible
How fucked up is that?
It's crazy how people are doing all these things, right? It's like they're putting all these... he's signing all these executive orders, you know, creating all these tariffs, renegotiating tariffs to the point where... Even businesses, local businesses, right? Businesses that are doing products here in America are being affected. For example, anyone that has any type of relationship with the steel industry is going to feel the effects. You saw that with, for example, Harley Davidson. They're taking their operations and moving them out of the U.S. because of the pricing and how much it costs to build things here, given the tariffs that he has actually put in place. And to me, it's just incredibly, like, astounding that you have people in these states and where they're mostly affected by these tariffs still supporting a man that's literally taking their livelihood away. I'm just like, wow, that's stupidity on a stick. Mm-hmm. If anyone's ever said to me, you know, you're going to live in a town, you're going to live in an era and where a president is going to come and pass an executive order and change the tariffs on you, the price of the product that you need to do your own business is going to skyrocket, you're going to lose your job, and you're still going to like the guy and vote for him again. I'd be like, never happening, but we're seeing it happen.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what I think? It's funny, because I've been thinking a lot about it, and I think sort of it's so polarized, and people are so left or right now, mm-hmm. and they've made their decision, and they're sticking with their decision, because it's been such a battle. And so now it's about ego and it's not about what's actually right.
You can't go back.
Right.
You know, it's insane. So,
I mean, at this point, what would it take for a Trump supporter, if this is what I'm thinking about ego, what would it take at this point, because he's done plenty, to actually make them be like, oh, never mind, this is not a good
guy. Yeah, you've gone too far.
I'm hoping that a lot of the stuff that he has done thus far was the tipping point. And people realizing, you know, this is not where I need to be. This is not who I need to support. This candidate is really not good for the economy of America. And like, it's funny because, you know, the report came out, the jobs report and the economic report came out recently, and it shows a huge like increase. But it's been showing that consistently from the Obama era, mm-hmm. going all the way up. And like,
and
you know,
it also shows an even keel up. It doesn't spike.
Correct.
Obama was going up, and it just continues.
And so the point I was trying to make is that, you know, some of the changes that he's made, absolutely, because, you know, a lot of rich people, specifically people that have a lot of investment in Wall Street, are making a lot of money because of the changes that he's making. But the average middle American
middle class American family is really not feeling the love, right? They were even tossing up in the air the fact that they wanted to actually pass another tax cut for the middle class, right? Because the first one really didn't impact them at all. And they were trying to sort of kind of say, oh, we need to do something so that we could get that base and keep them and have them vote for us, because 2020 is right around the corner. If you think for 1 minute,
print your materials now.
If you think for 1 minute that come tomorrow, all this election talk is over, are you kidding me? It's about to go on overdrive, because mm-hmm. if Donald Trump is anything but someone who's going to let shit go, he's literally going to, tomorrow he'll be on a bike trying to like do his thing. It's insane.
Sweat out the orange, maybe?
Yeah.
So this is obviously going to be a very political show, but before we get into stories, I just want to say something that made me freak out a little bit this weekend.
Uh-huh.
So I'm on Tinder, and that's the only app I use. And I was swiping through people, and this really cute guy came up.
Stop.
We matched.
Did you just lie? That's the only app that you use?
Yeah.
She's lying.
No, that's the only app. I have had apps prior, but it's mm-hmm. the only app I use.
So you deleted all the other apps?
I have. Okay. Like a long time ago.
This is going to be...
I know. I'm really excited for the second half of the mm-hmm. show when we get to talk about
this. It's going
to
be really good for your conversation.
But so I swiped right on this guy, and we uh-huh. matched, and I was like, all right, great. And I swiped right, and I looked at his age, and I was like, 31? Oh, that's only a year older than me. And I swiped right, and I was like, fuck, I'm 31. Oh, my God.
Isn't it just... It's like, it's really disturbing when you start to think back, and you're like... Because to me, I'm still 25. But I'm not 25.
Oh, honey, we know.
And lately, like, when I'm like, for example, I'm doing laundry, I get down on my knees to put stuff in a basket. When I go to get up, can't get up.
I'm 31, like, everything cracks.
What the hell? It's happening. It's insane. But anyway, so all I have to say is make a smart choice tomorrow. You've got the opportunity to actually make some change. Really meaningful and incredible change, and actually putting some roadblocks, or not even roadblocks, putting some checks and balances on a system right now that's really, really, really horribly badly balanced.
It's so important. Everyone get it. I will give you a ride if you need to go out and vote tomorrow. Oh. I have a two-seater, so it'll be one at a time, but I will give you a ride if you need to get out there to vote.
By the way, he's working all day, so he won't be able to give you a ride. But that being said, I do want to say what's an important to note is that, you know, during the Trump/Clinton campaign, we all thought it was in the bag. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure a lot of people were like, well, fuck it. Trump's not going to win. I'm not going to go vote. And we saw what happened. Mm-hmm. And now you have to think about it logically. Both sides, like I said earlier, are very polarized. And they are going out to vote. So both sides are going to be at the polls tomorrow. And that means you have to get your ass out there and vote, because your vote actually matters right now.
And it's so important, because there are no landslide elections going on tomorrow. Tomorrow is neck and neck. When you look mm-hmm. at the Connecticut governorships, that's neck and neck. That means, like you said, our votes really do matter. And it's so important for us all to get out. Look at Beto O'Rourke. Mm-hmm. How far he's come to dethrone Senator Ted Cruz. The chances are still there, but it's...
I think they're like 5 points off, like difference between them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you just never know. You can't trust polls. Maybe he'll come through.
Right, and that's why it's so important to get out, because everything is so close. Every vote is going to matter tomorrow.
One thing I do want to say, and, you know, this is very important. I know that the cutoff for voting... registering to vote in Connecticut was October 30th. And however, we do have same day registrations. It won't be available at all polling places. You have to call your local town and find out where your polling place is that accepts same day registration.
Make sure you
bring proper ID. Make sure that you bring proof of address and proof of residency so that you could actually vote. But if you can't, if for whatever reason you're not showing up, and this is nationwide, if you're not showing up, I believe there are about 35 states that do this. If you're showing up and they have nothing on you, you have a right by law to ask for a provisional ballot, which then allows you to actually cast a vote. Once the validation process goes through, those votes get counted. And that's very important. People need to know that.
So everyone can vote. And that was very good, Tom. Yes. I'm happy you brought that up.
So make sure that, you know, you do that. There are a couple of states that don't do it because this is not a federally mandated law. It is just laws that a lot of states enacted. But it is available for the most part in a lot of really big states. So make sure that, you know, If they say no at the polls, ask for that provisional ballot.
Very good.
All right. That being said, I think we should move into some stories because we
Let's talk about gay shit.
Yes. All right. So speaking of gay shit, so this is still a little bit political, but it's very cool, right? Because for a long time, we see a lot of people thinking, oh, you know, drag queens, all they do is do shows and perform at bars and et cetera, et cetera. And they're fun to be around and they're fun to watch and give money to, which we love. You know, I give money to amazing performers all the time. But there has been an up movement. There's been a lot of drag queens and a lot of groups that actually have been over the course of the past 30 years doing a lot of activism. And it's really becoming
and charity work.
Yeah, a lot of charity work, and it's getting a lot of traction. But, you know, drag queens are more and more becoming political, and especially now in this time that we're living in, right? We have a lot of government officials attacking members or a portion of our community, specifically the transgender community, which, by the way, it's November and it is Transgender Awareness Week is coming up. So we want to, you know, tell all of our brothers and sisters in the transgender community that you have our unconditional support and love. And we will always be talking about the fact that you are an important demographic in our group, and you are part of our group, and you are part of our history. And no government, no administration could ever erase that. I don't care how many times they remove it from a website.
Or you. Hello.
It would never happen. So, but anyway, the drag queens here have been, in this particular story, I'm reading a story, which, by the way, is on Vox.com. So one of our previous contributors who has worked with us before, Daniel Villarreal, he's no longer at UnicornBooty.com.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
So he had moved on. He moved to, I believe he moved to California, and he's now working for Vox.com. Oh. And he started writing again, and he's the one behind this particular article, which actually published today. And in it, it was giving us a lot of details about many artists specifically who have been active and doing a lot of activism work. And it's even more popular now because of like shows like Drag Race, right? Where it's bringing the drag community and putting it in people's faces.
All right. So what's going on in this story?
Well, I was like, where are we going,
Tom,
with
but
this?
What's happening?
Where's the knife? Anyway, so one of the particular groups that I wanted to talk about was the, oh crap, I just deleted my notes. Hold on.
Well,
I'm doing it. Give me a minute.
So something about Nancy Pelosi, they were discussing conversion therapy and describing something or other.
Bob the drag queen ended up, you know, getting arrested in the state of Connecticut when we were fighting for marriage equality in the state.
I didn't know that.
Yes. So Nancy Pelosi was actually on an episode of the RuPaul's Drag Race.
Right.
They were, you know, advocating the importance of being able to have the community included.
I need to watch that. Anyway, go on.
Okay. And then, of course, there is the Sisters of the Perpetual Indulgence. They're a group that have been around for a very long time, doing a lot of activism work. And anyway, in 1980, they held a public rosary in time of nuclear peril to protest the 1979 nuclear meltdown at the Three Mile Island. They chased anti-gay Christian protesters out of the Castro and the Polk neighborhoods, and also raised money for Cuban refugees in combination with creating bingo games and other kinds of like disco and events. But one interesting thing that they noted in this particular article is that this particular group, again, the Sisters of the Perpetual Indulgence, were one of the first groups to ever, I believe that in this article it says they were the first to ever actually hold an event to raise money for people who were suffering with what was AIDS and HIV when it first started happening. And when you think about, you know, the typical drag queen that you see out there in the bars doing shows and stuff, it's pretty incredibly naive for me to think that they may not have an impact on what we do politically or civically. And when you look at groups like this, you know, when you look at these actually, when we were in D.C., we saw them dressed in nun suits. Do you guys remember that? We were marching?
I do remember this now because I'm looking at the picture and I remember seeing
And
nuns.
They were there. And I actually have a picture of them in my photo reel on the phone. But they were there. And they've been doing this for the better part of 30 years.
39 years.
So all I have to say is that if you see someone out there, regardless if it's a drag queen or it's a transgender individual or if it is Trish or Chris screaming from the top of his lungs, is that there is
chances are you won't notice.
Regardless of what part of the community you're from, we have activists all over the place. And I thought that it was very amazing and interesting to read how much the drag queen community has contributed to our civil conversations and actually doing a lot of civil work.
I don't know why this story brought up a story that I think I watched over the weekend. It was a video of a gay dance group in Mobile, Alabama. It's, I think, six men, mm-hmm. and they do their makeup. They look beautiful, and they dance, and that's their thing, and they just love to dance. And they had some parade going on in town.
I thought they
showed up, and they were just told that they could not participate. And as much as that's terrible, and the whole story is quite impressive, and I'm very proud of these individuals that are still standing up and going out there and being who they are, this little girl came up to one of the dancers and was crying, and he bent down and said, "Why are you crying?" And he was like, "Because they shouldn't have done that to you. Because you know what?
What?
Our society teaches us what we hate, mm-hmm. and teaches us what we can love. And this little girl has nobody pushing these society norms on her. And she's just sharing love and wants to love. And she was hurt that somebody else was hurt. It's about humanity. It's about basic human rights and love. That's what it's about. Everything else is just bullshit."
You're right. And, so, you know, and when people go out there and do things like this, to bring awareness to themselves and to bring awareness to the cause, it's, you're going to have people that actually go out and say, you know, you're not right. There's something wrong with you. You're the devil. You're this, you're that. But you know what? Hang strong. Do you. You have a right to do it. You live in the US of A. And it's, you have a right to express yourself whichever way you deem fit.
And you know what? Whoever passes judgment, honestly, like, you have no room. We're all damaged. We all have our issues. Mm-hmm. And you hide it behind a fucking closed door. So shut the fuck up and let us live our lives. Like, seriously.
So you're right. You're right. It's just, it's intense to see what's going on right now with all these, like, you know, hardcore Trumpers, like, going and attacking people that are not as what they considered normal.
You know,
well,
what?
You know what?
You know what's, I don't want to go back on the Trump thing.
All right. But anyway, one more thing I needed to mention, that one of the actual sisters from this particular group actually ran and tried to depose then Mayor Dianne Feinstein, who is now a U.S. senator in California. He didn't win, but he tried.
Proud of her.
Yeah, and so it just goes to show you how active groups who normally we don't think they are in our political process and also on the things that affect our mm-hmm. community. So big up to those.
Why did she try to take down – he tried to take on Feinstein?
Well, at the time – so at the time, Feinstein was mayor. I can't recall what – city it was, could have been San Fran, I'm not sure where they're from, but she was mayor and they were having some misunderstandings and they weren't sort of kind of seen eye to eye, and she was like, "Fine, then I'll run against you and I'll try to, you know, take you out of there." And it didn't work, but either way, as you can see, Senator Dianne Feinstein has been an advocate for many things over the years.
Right.
She's been an amazing senator. So I don't know exactly what was going on at that time, but it must have been important enough for them, for him or her, or however you identify, to feel the need to actually go and run against someone that they felt strongly against.
Well, good.
So that being said, you boys want to take a break before we continue?
Yes.
Because we do have Hannah in studio, and I definitely want to give you some time.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I do want to talk about my gay shit later, though. Okay?
Oh, we're going to have plenty of time.
It's not political.
All right. So listen, guys, we're going to leave you with some music, and when we come back, we have Hannah with us.
If you need my hands to pull you up above the earth, well, I will lift you up to show you just how much you're worth. 'Cause we need to be loved. So we need to be loved. If I had you here, I'd wear your heart just like a crown. And if it beats for me, then I would never.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, from the break. That was We Need to Be Loved by the incredibly talented Anthony Starbell. Such a very, very talented young man. Anyway, so welcome back to the show. As you know, when we left prior to the break, we did say that we had a special guest, Hannah, here with us, who is here to talk about some of the work she's doing. She's doing a lot of research currently here in the U.S. And also in the U.K. Yes.
Do we have to do something before that, though?
What?
I don't know.
No, we're going to get into her first, and then we'll go ahead and do the other thing that we need to do as well. So, Hannah, anyway, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us and being here. And I want you to maybe take some time to introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about you, what you're doing here in the US, and then we can move into some of the work that you're doing.
Okay. So I'm a PhD candidate at a university in the UK that is kind of linked with Southern Connecticut State University. So our two universities have got a couple of exchange programs going on and a couple of faculty and staff and students that are moving between them. So our PhDs in the UK work a bit differently. So we don't have any taught elements. You just do one big research project independently on your own for 3 years, which is great if you've got really good self-discipline and you're great at kind of time management, but is a little bit scary if you need a bit more support. So I'm based in the UK most of the time. I've been here about 6 weeks and I'm here till the end of the month now. And I'm doing research around LGBT focused dating apps and how we use them.
Okay, so when you say LGBT dating apps, can you give me a description of what kind of dating apps exactly are you looking for? Is Tinder included in that?
So the thing I've learned doing research between two countries almost instantly is we all use different words, and trying to define and explain something at home and here is really confusing. So I'm using the loose term dating app as any smartphone app that usually has kind of GPS inbuilt in it that allows people to find, to seek, to look for, to meet up with same gender partners. Mm. So it's anything from Grindr, Tinder, some of the kind of ones, I know the names have escaped me, but
Scruff,
those kind of millions of those ones. But there's also kind of ones that are just like chance meetings and passings.
Are you doing any work with her?
Not with the actual apps themselves, but I know that is an app that a lot of people who've been part of my research use.
Well, it's interesting because we were talking before you came on the show about the fact that there's really no research on the lesbian community. Mm. You know what I mean? And her is kind of specific for women.
Right. Yeah.
So I think it would be interesting to hear about like what kind of data you would get from that type of app.
Hers huge in the UK. Every single lesbian I know.
Well, it started
her,
right?
Yeah.
We had her on the show.
Mm-hmm. She was hot.
Yeah, Vivian. She was amazing.
Vivian, that's her name, Vivian.
She was the, was she one of the founders of the Her app?
I believe
she was. She was coordinating, she was part of coordinating the efforts to actually get the app out there and talk about how it works, what it does, what the community is like, and then
the purpose of the app.
Exactly. Mm. And she was absolutely amazing. And of course, she had an accent just as wonderful as yours. And
but we can connect you with
her. That would be brilliant. Yeah. That would be really interesting just to hear her perspective of why they set it up. Because apps for women and especially kind of research around sexual behavior and sexual health and kind of love life of women who have sex with women is almost non-existent. It just all focuses on men.
Well, one of the important things that she pointed out is that the Her app in itself was not specifically just for sex. It was more of a community. Mm. And so she was very, very,
adamant.
She was very adamant. Thank you. See, I'm looking for words here. She was very adamant in saying that, you know, the Her app in itself is more of an experience and surrounding people with other people so that you can actually have a community.
Yeah.
So that you could have friends everywhere. So that the app right now, I believe when she was talking about the app in itself was worldwide and they had connections and smaller social groups within the app all over the world. Mm. So when you go somewhere, you can meet people that are not specifically just looking to hook up, but more of a community where you can sort of kind of meet other people, get together and, you know, get to experience what it is that people experience socially in different parts of the world.
Mm. And I think that's incredibly, sorry, Nick.
No.
It's incredibly important because when I first, the second time I went to Germany when I was living in Munich, like I was telling you, I wanted to, what? I think it's great the way that Her is set up because I wanted to meet.
Now he was living in Germany.
I know.
For 6 weeks. Yeah, I was.
So what app did you download?
Well, I downloaded Grindr.
Uh-huh.
I made a friendship out of it, but I didn't like the fact that I had to put it very strong words that I'm in a relationship. I'm not on here to meet anyone. And, you know, I constantly would have to like erase the dick pics that were sent my way. So I like the idea.
Or keep them and save them for later.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But, you know, yeah, you know.
I have a friend who uses Grindr the same way, who uses it for just kind of normal everyday purposes, but when they're traveling, will,
for connections.
Like, very clearly just be like, I just want someone to like show me some bars, let's have fun, have a night out, but I'm not looking for anything.
Right, and it did work. I mean, I made a very close friend who you guys have met, Toby's. Yeah, and Toby's great.
Toby actually came to visit. He actually was here in the studio.
Yeah, he came to visit. I'm going back to visit him in January, but I wish that there was an app where I can just go on to find community, like what meetup. Her offers. Or yes, is that an app?
Like an LGBTQ meetup.
Right, exactly. Where it's not, because Grindr definitely has the stigma of hookups. It's a sex app.
A lot of these apps specifically for men do have that feeling of it being, oh, you know, I'm just going to go on here and see who I can find to bring home, bang, and send them on his way.
Well, look, honey, I mean, let's be honest. Every time, it's like when you're in... If you're a heterosexual and you're going out and meeting people, if it's a girl, it's a potential person, right? It's the same thing for us. So everybody thinks that way, whether you feel that way or not, that's how people feel. But that being said, I want to...
Oh, I'm not shaming anybody. I just want to make sure.
No, I know.
I'm just saying that, you know, that's just what I feel when I go on the app.
So I want to flip it back. Hannah, so tell me about why you're doing this and what the purpose is behind it.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm really interested in... So. We always end up having kind of slightly negative conversations around apps, and there's always the kind of narrative in the media.
Like what just happened, right?
Because you can't help it.
Exhibit A. Segue.
There's always stories. So, and then the kind of media coverage of it is always, it's all about increased risk, promiscuity.
Grindr shut down the Olympics.
Yeah. Possibly like violence and kind of assaults and the link with chems and things like that. I'm really interested in those things that we're talking about, of the kind of social community cohesion and the way of reducing isolation and the way of meeting people. And from a public health perspective, we have this amazing tendency to focus on negative health behaviors. And it's almost like we forget that actually these they can lead to love, and they can also just lead to good, fun sexual experiences.
Mm-hmm. Which is important.
Which is really important for well-being and health for people.
Or even good friendships.
Yeah. And I'm really interested in how we can, as health professionals, you kind of think that we don't realize that having sex is fun.
That's a funny point.
Yeah, like all if you ever go to like a sexual health clinic, all you get is quizzed about like the negative, dangerous things, and this kind of people are going to use them. They're there. This technology is here to stay. It's not new technology anymore. And I'm really interested, and I think it's really important that we can understand how people are using them, so that then people can have really honest, frank conversations, and sexual health nurses can talk to people and say, okay, if you're using it in this way, how can we optimize that? How can we tip it towards the kind of positive side? And so that the sexual experiences, the friendships, the relationships and their impact on you are positive. And a lot of people make those decisions themselves anyway, and you kind of... I know when I've used apps like that, and my current partner I met on Tinder, we've been together like 3 years now, but we...
She swiped right.
I did, yeah. Aww. We now live together. We have cats.
Of course you do.
Gotta love the pussies. I love my little kitty cat.
I thought we were getting away from the stereotypes.
Thought
anyway.
We were, right? Exactly.
Like, it's taken me by surprise how much I've missed them being over here. She keeps sending me pictures, and I'm like, oh, I miss the cats.
Really. Meanwhile, she's like, I haven't responded to missing you. It's just the cats.
Yeah, basically. So the kind of, we have, like, I know firsthand, and I've got, we're talking about her, one of my good friends is in a really serious relationship with someone she met on her. And there's kind of like, I know a lot of good stories of relationships and good relationships of all types. And as health professionals, we kind of need to understand how people make these decisions. And we need to understand if we're going to kind of the health education, health promotion side of things, we need to know how to fit in with what people are doing anyway. Because just saying, don't do this, or trying to give people instructions that don't fit in with their actual life experiences and give people advice that's just so far away from what they're doing is never going to work. We need to know how to kind of utilize and build on what people are already doing to try and improve health. And because we do have higher HIV and STI rates, LGBT community has higher mental health problems, drug and alcohol and things like that. So there are, the health inequalities are there. And kind of if we can have conversations with people that actually tap into and aren't as judgmental.
You know what's interesting to me? I wonder, I don't know if there's a way to figure this out, but I I found that, you know, gay bars used to be the way people met one another.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have these social media apps where you can just sit behind your phone at home. And so you have a lot of people that aren't necessarily secure in who they are and comfortable with who they are and having these experiences. How do then we promote or get the information to promote healthy, safe sex, whether it be lesbian sex, gay sex, whatever it is? How do we promote that in that community? You know what I mean?
Do you want an actual answer?
I don't want an actual answer, I guess, but I'm just like wondering, like, is that like something that you could potentially get from this study? Like, how to differentiate between somebody who is out and proud and somebody who is scared and can't come out? You know, like,
so there's, I think the conversations I've been having around with people around their experiences is picking some of that apart. And there is this conversations I've had with people when they've kind of talked about when they first used apps and mistakes they've made. And then as they've kind of, you almost get strategies and skills and people have. And my group of lesbian friends and I have a WhatsApp group, which is entirely, like, half of the conversation is about people's dating experiences and will be screenshots of dating apps and things like that. And there's this real kind of, if someone has a date, there's a real advice between us. And, oh, okay, so you're meeting this person. What do you know about them? Oh, no, that looks like a catfish. Where are you going? I'll see you there, kind of thing. There's a real protection and kind of community support, which if once you've got, like, a crew and your people, you're fine. But, yeah, isolated. I just think I grew up in a really, really rural. That's a challenging two seconds.
It's okay. You're speaking really, in cursive.
Really rural area.
Nailed it. Nailed it.
I mean, a lot of people need to recognize the importance of having a support system, especially when you're dating and going out there and putting yourself out there. You know, I'll talk about an experience. So I was up in I was up in another state. And so, of course, you know, I opened up my Grindr app, and there was a lot of people that
and
show
his Scruff app,
and my Scruff, and all of those amazing apps that, you know, put you within proximity to someone that's part of your community that you can then, as adults, choose to do whatever you want, right? Whether that's dinner or sex or whatever. But anyway, so I ended up meeting this guy online, and we were talking back and forth and exchanging pictures, some of them very graphic.
Please. Every time he goes out there now, I'm like, so are you going to see him?
Yes. So, and that's the things. But we establish a connection, and whether it's not a relationship type of connection, it's more a little bit more of like physical enjoyment connection. But nonetheless, it was a connection made, right? And it was made through this one app that we have. But the weird thing was that when I first went out to meet up with this guy, one of the first things I did was share my location with Trish and sent them a text message. If you don't hear from me within an hour, send the police to this address, because you just never know what's going to happen, right? And so then, of course, you know, I'm doing my thing, and my phone an hour later is going off, and Trish is like, hello, are you alive? I'm like, shut.
So I figured it was going well, but like at some point, if I hadn't heard back within like probably an hour and a half to two, I probably would have done something.
Yeah, but you know, but what I was trying to get to that is that you had made a point in that you have this WhatsApp group, and that, you know, your group and your support system sort of kind of go back and forth and say, who are you meeting? Oh no, this sounds like a catfish. Maybe I should meet you there. I'll just sort of kind of hang around on the sidelines just to make sure that you're safe, right? I think that those are the type of things that you have to think about when you are looking to connect with people on these types of applications, rather than just being in the same space and seeing each other physically and meeting and sort of kind of taking it the what people nowadays call the traditional way of finding people and dating.
Right. I mean, raise your hand if you've been catfished. Hello?
Actually, yeah, I did kind of get one time. I did. And I think it
Hannah?
Is...
Not intentionally, but, you know, that surprise with really old photos.
Yeah, like, that's exactly what it was. What I was expecting. Like, this was a couple years ago.
Not in a cruel way.
Yeah, just, exactly.
Or like when you're Trish, right, and you use that that
Facetune.
Yeah. And then you show up and you're like,
whoa, what happened, dude?
Do you need me to call someone?
I still like you. You're cute and all, but
you actually have forehead wrinkles.
But I think it's important, and I don't want to like stoke fear in anyone, but I think about it when you look at, you know, that madman who sent bombs to these top Democratic officials, and then you have this guy who goes in and shoots up a synagogue because he hates Jews. You know, I think about that whenever I go on Grindr. I have a rule. I will only meet someone out for like coffee or a bar or at a bar at first. Like, I won't go to someone's house because I have that fear sometimes that there's a troll on there that hates gay people.
Do you share your location though?
I have my location shared with you guys. I have it shared with my roommate.
You haven't necessarily let me know if you've gone on.
I will let people know. Like, will let you know or Jose know. So it is important. Mm-hmm. Like, you have your WhatsApp group. That's important because it's, like I said, I don't want to put fear out there, but there are people that are out there to hurt people that don't agree with us.
Four murders in the UK. Four guys were murdered, and it took the police a very long time to realize that there was a connection between them, and they were all somebody who met someone on Grindr. And this guy murdered four people and sexually assaulted quite a lot of people as well. And it took them ages to realize that they were linked, because the police, it just didn't even occur to them to link the... I think he was found guilty maybe about 18 months ago.
So what would you say... I mean, obviously you're going through the process right now of research, but like, do you think connecting with a friend and sharing your location is important when going on a first date for a dating app?
I would say that, but I would have said that if you'd met someone in a bar. I would have said that 15, 20 years ago. Mm. If you were drunk and you got a phone number in a bar, I would also have been like, who is this person? Do you know anything about them? Right. They're kind of, just because you've seen their face doesn't mean they're as safe. You're usually really drunk when you meet people in bars. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think we tend to use apps a bit more sober.
You also have to...
That is true. But there are those drunken Grindr nights. Yeah. But
you also have to let history be a reminder of what is possible. I mean, look at Jeffrey Dahmer, right? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
He literally targeted the specifically gay men to commit his crime. So, I mean, you never know. It's just, my thing is this, it is a beautiful thing to be able to connect with anyone around the world, right? To have that access.
You're thinking of one, John Wayne Gacy.
What are you talking about?
He was the one who would kill the gay guys.
Wasn't it
Jeffrey Dahmer killed women.
Are you sure?
Yeah, John Wayne Gacy, he dressed up as a clown.
No.
I'm going to fact check.
Yeah, do some fact check. Pretty sure Jeffrey Dahmer used to get women and he'd like chain them up underground used his own defense. John Wayne Gacy was the one who would have like men help do stuff like plumbing in his house and then he would murder them.
I want a plumber. But anyway, so I guess what I'm trying to say is that you only need to look to history to see what are the possibilities of what could happen when you put yourself out there and at risk when you really don't know anything about anyone. But one of the things that I wanted to point out is the amazing opportunities that apps like this allow for us to be able to have a very, very vast access to a lot of people worldwide, right? Because I can come here, open an app, and immediately I know who's in my surroundings and who's around me and who I can reach out to if I find them attractive or if what I've read in their profile seems to interest me, then I would reach out to them. Coincidentally, you can do the same thing anywhere. I can take my phone and that same group of people that was here in Connecticut won't be the same group of people that were in the UK, for example, or when you move over to France, if you're there, or if you go to Germany and meet people like Toby, for example. So you really get an opportunity to have access to a group of people that you typically don't or would not have 20 years ago or even before the invention of the iPhone. So anyway, fact check.
We're
going
to go back to it.
Yeah, no, Chris is right.
No, but we're both right.
Okay.
Because Jeffrey Dahmer committed the rape, murder, and dismemberment of 17 men and boys from the years of 1978 to 1991. John Wayne Gacy also was found. He was an American serial killer and rapist. He sexually assaulted, tortured, and murdered at least 33 young teenage boys and young men between 1972 and 1978. So we were both.
I've been vindicated.
But there's also that landscaper in Toronto.
In Toronto,
Bruce.
Right.
Bruce MacArthur.
Yeah, I forget his name, but I know who you're talking about.
But
yeah.
Anyway, we are off topic.
This is a little extreme.
So dating apps are safe if you're safe.
Yeah.
If you see someone with the name John Wayne Gacy, though, I would put that as a no.
So let me ask you something, Hannah. So you're collecting this data here in the U.S.
Yeah.
You've collected data in the U.K. What's the end game for the data?
So
what are you hoping to find?
So I'm hoping to find, look at the differences. So collecting data across two different countries is, I'm really interested in how, where we live and the kind of society and the climate that we live in affects how we behave as well. And it's been interesting being here. My girlfriend was over visiting a couple of weeks ago and I was aware I'm not as comfortable holding her hand here as I am at home. I hold her hand.
So why?
I don't know. I don't know if it's something about current politics. I don't see people walking around New Haven and Connecticut holding hands. I think I've seen one same-sex couple holding hands in the last 6 weeks.
I don't see it that often.
I do see it,
but I understand that. And just by not seeing it, you're going to think, okay, maybe we shouldn't do this here.
And at home, it's really, really like cheesy and sad that we hold hands most of the time.
<That's> amazing.
Our friends laugh at us a lot.
It's amazing.
But then also maybe it's just that people aren't as open with affection here. And I suppose I haven't seen as many opposite sex couples holding hands here either as well. But so how much does where we live, I'm really interested in the difference between how men and women experience apps and the difference between how apps and the behavior on apps between the UK and the US and what's influencing that. So the interviews I'm doing, they've got questions around kind of like how where you are and who's around you affects the decisions you make and how out people are and how open they are about their sexuality, what kind of influence that's had on their behavior and the decisions they've made. Because if you're really in the closet and nobody knows you're on Grindr, you don't have that person to tell to say, right, I'm going to be out on Saturday night, please check on me.
Right.
That's true.
That's very true. That's a very good point.
So if I were to be a part of your study, what is the process? Like so if I say like, I want to come and like chat with you, what would it be like?
So can I do a little bit of promotion here then?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Exactly the point.
So I've got two sections to my study. So there's an online survey, which is open to everybody who uses apps to meet same gender partners.
And
so,
just to say, we'll share it on the website.
Yeah, brilliant. Cool. So the easiest way, if you want to find out more about this, is there's a Facebook page for my study. So if you just search dating app research on Facebook, the page will pop up. And so the first section is a survey online. That's anybody. So that's men, that's women, that's whatever, however you identify your gender, and asking about what apps you use, how you use them. So it's aimed at people who use or have used apps in the last 12 months. So trying to understand kind of patterns of use and which apps are popular in which countries. And we had a conversation about who uses Tinder and who uses Grindr and things like that. And I was saying kind of, I've got friends who'll say they use Grindr for hookups and Tinder for dates.
Yeah, that's what, yeah.
Yeah, that's the kind of combination. But then which apps are used where is really interesting because from a kind of health research point of view, they're all just lumped together. And when we're talking about, especially men, basically if health professionals are talking about it, they're thinking Grindr. They're never like, because that's the one that's been around the most amount of time. Mm-hmm. So there's a survey for anybody. So if you could share that, that would be amazing. And if anybody it's focused in Connecticut and in Merseyside, which is the county that I'm based in the UK. So, and they're really similar areas, actually. We've got big university towns, kind of combination of really affluent and really deprived. So the amazing combination, actually. And then the second section, which is what I'm trying to do at the moment, and I have another month left in Connecticut, is doing interviews. So the interviews are focused on men, specifically because the surveys that I've done so far, men are coming out as just using apps more, having a higher number of partners, talking more and being more open and sharing more positive and more negative experiences on the apps. So I'm doing interviews face-to-face or via Skype, Zoom, something like that, with men in Connecticut who use apps.
So if someone wanted to schedule a face-to-face interview, would they go to the Facebook page and reach out to you that way?
Yeah, so go to the Facebook page and reach out to me that way. Or if you can share on your website my email address on there as well, that would
that
be awesome.
That is a given. We're going to make sure.
Definitely will.
Yeah, and the interviews are actually quite... People have found them really fun and interesting because I've got some mock-up Grindr profiles. I've kind of chosen the best and the worst bits of some real Grindr profiles and made them.
Okay.
In fact, I have them in my bag. If you want
I want to see them.
See
them. I want to sit down with her.
So off the top of your head, give me your worst.
The worst thing on the open racism on the Grindr profiles.
Oh,
is one of the
fats,
really,
no femmes, no blacks, no Chinese or
England,
Asian.
In England,
you get
Asians quite a lot, kind of straight acting is a word you see
a lot.
Yeah,
don't get me.
Yeah, that's the whole problem. We have the no femmes here, yeah.
Yeah.
So if people want to do an interview with me, so there's, I'm kind of trying to reach in my bag and pass things.
She
out,
literally just
move.
Pulled something out that's laminated.
I want to see this. I want to have an interview with you.
You know what's really, I will set this up. When we first talked on the phone, I think what's so powerful about this whole thing is the fact that, just to reiterate, there's been so much research behind gay men and some research behind transgender individuals, but there is no fucking research out there about gay females. And like, why the fuck is there no research out there about lesbians? They're part of our community.
And I feel like I'm contributing to that by, for the second stage of this, I had to narrow it down because I couldn't do interviews with, I've not got like limitless resources and time, and I couldn't represent the voices of everybody in our community. So I had to choose a kind of section and a group of our community who I felt were more at risk or more, to be honest, more open and willing to talk. Because as lesbians, we're not used to taking part in anything to do with health promotion. None of it's aimed at us.
But what's interesting is that during the AIDS crisis, the lesbians were the ones that were taking care of all the gay men.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But thinking, we don't think about our own sexual health. Like, lesbians and women who have sex with women are never the kind of audience of sexual health promotion. And it's kind of cause our risk is really low, to be honest. Mm. It is. We do have much lower rates, and the chance of transmission of things is lower.
Very true.
They still definitely happen. I have many friends, having worked in sexual health for 10 years, many conversations with friends about, oh, I've got this problem, what should I do? Go to the STI clinic.
Yeah, get yourself checked out.
I know you're a lesbian, but just go, it's fine. Because we don't, it's not part of our culture. You're laughing at those profiles.
I have the best one in my hand.
So Chris has got one.
Wait, hold on.
I'm going to hand one to Trish. And then I'm going to hand one.
Now.
I'm going to hand one to Hannah. And we're going to read these profiles, okay? So
I'm going last because I have the best one.
So can I, before we do this, can I say these are mock. They were kind of, inspiration was taken from profiles that I saw that I did screen grabs of at home. So some of the words and some of the phrasing and some of the sentiment is based on real things, but they're definitely mock. In fact, I put on the back that this is mocked up.
Yes, you did.
In case I left it on the train.
Very importantly.
Other than the fact that mine says meters is based in Anfield, I feel like I saw this profile last night.
These are going to be funny, but also they're kind of depressing. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, they are. So, okay. Trish, you want to start?
We'll start with you. All right. So, Grindr profile, username, downtown, age 41, online 59 minutes ago, 497 meters away. 25 to 45 is what he's looking for. He loves big, hairy guys, but he's not out because of his job. That's what's depressing. Appreciate being discreet. Don't mind sending pics, though. Height, 181 centimeters. Ethnicity, white. Body, slim. Tribes, daddy, discreet. Clearly, I've not used this in forever.
They're different between the UK and the US. And to be perfectly honest, I don't have a laminator in the US, so I brought the UK ones.
Perfect. So none of us know how tall these people are. How many centimeters? Are we talking about penises?
Yeah. You know
what? I am single, looking for right now.
All right.
So all right, that's, downtown
that's
daddy.
So that's a neutral one.
Yeah, that
my
is.
My conversation around that will be that's quite a neutral one, and asking people, I use these to kind of prompt discussion of how people would respond to them. So some of them are really kind of inoffensive, kind of neutral and exciting.
Yeah, and that one was very neutral.
All right, so here's a profile that I have. This one says it's a guy with just a torso with military cargo shorts, and it says, blowjob now. And then it's got the devil.
Is that the username, blowjob now?
No, it just says blowjob now.
Yeah, that's
right?
The username.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, that's the username.
Blowjob now. And so basically...
I see that all the time on Grindr.
It says he's 32, he's online, and then he writes in the description the following. Straight acting, fit guy, fit guys only, no fatties, no Asians, can accommodate. So if you're saying no fatties, no Asians, but then you write something like can accommodate, it's really going to give people the idea that maybe you'll accommodate me.
Well, I think the accommodate means hosting.
You can come over.
Yeah. Remember, these are the English ones.
Sorry.
Hosting. Was I correct with that?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Okay, so hosting would be these. So I do have some American versions. They're not as fancy as this. Also, accommodate's spelt wrong because one of my friends has a real hatred of people who spell things wrong on their profile, so I thought I'd put some.
One of our friends has that too.
Awesome. I love that.
All right, so Hannah, why don't you go?
So mine is called Alex. He's 26. It just says he looks adorable.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. He's lovely. He's really definitely. Kind of boy next door. And it just says, "Hi everyone. I like chatting and meeting new people. I work in IT. Not as boring as it sounds. Please say hi." And it's just a really sweet, inoffensive.
I would send him a message.
But yeah, that's the
we know, Chris.
That's the kind of person that I would send a message to, and then I would get no reply whatsoever.
Okay.
So it's like, you know.
It is disappointing with that sometimes.
Yeah, I know.
When you send those.
Right?
Like, someone's like, "Hey, I'm here. I just want to chat." I'm like, "Hey, how's it going?"
"No, I don't want to chat to you."
Sorry. Yes, you don't want to chat with me. I was like, "All right."
So what do you have?
Okay, this one's the winner right here. Of course. So I have Slut Cum Bottom 24.
Wait a minute. I did not give you authorization to put my profile out there, okay?
Sorry.
I'm just saying.
We got Slut 24.
He's 24 years old.
24?
All right, yeah.
No comment. So Slut Cum Bottom 24 online now says, "Looking for hot straight guys to pound and rim my ass. Preferred marry guys. Can accommodate some days."
Okay, there goes that.
She lives at home with her parents.
And, some days, exactly. It's because, like, when mom goes to second shift, then they can come over. And, of course, there's no profile picture for that one.
That's so crazy. You know what's funny? And I hadn't really thought about it until recently. So, obviously, earlier I said I'm 31. And before I was 31, I've always loved Tinder. I have never really liked Grindr.
I like Tinder better.
And when I was, like, in my 20s, every fucking swipe would be a match. And now that I'm in my 30s, I get like maybe one out of four.
I don't think it has anything to do with the age, more so the fact that people know that you're crazy.
I think it picks up again. One of my friends turned 40 recently and her dating apps have gone insane. And she keeps being matched with like girls who are 19 and 20. She's 40 now, I think. And it's almost like she's then come out the other side and she's now this kind of amazing, hot, older woman for all the teenagers who are
basically a cougar,
she's
right?
Well, youngers,
yeah. So they call the woman a cougar. And then the man would be a daddy.
But what's also really depressing, too, is like, so I was talking to this guy for a hot minute on Tinder, and I'm sure a lot of people do this. You swipe right or swipe left. It's so judgmental based, you know?
It is. You're judging your face.
And then you get a match, and then like, I hadn't read the profile, and I started talking to this person, and then they were in a relationship, and I was like, fuck.
Well, in their defense, you didn't read their profile.
Valid, but...
Also, you could have swiped right, like, 2 weeks ago, and then my thing was always, I kind of forgot who they were, and you swipe right, and then you realize that actually you can't remember anything about them, or your friend stole your phone and just went swiping crazy, which is what we do with one of my friends who's too picky, so we just take her phone off her and just we can match with everybody.
Yes, girl.
Awesome.
Can I'm you just stay? I like you here. Can you stay,
thank
please?
You.
I think we have a fourth.
Yeah. I know.
So can I do another bit of promo?
Yes, bring it on.
Because I am struggling a bit to get enough to get into.
Why don't you go to the bar and like have like a little?
Oh my god, that would be awesome. I have some flyers and things like that.
Wait, you should go to the bar and have interviews.
That would be awesome. Yeah, awesome.
You can come to the bar, sit, have a cocktail, meet other, you know, members of the community and ask
brilliant.
Them if they're willing.
And we have at Gateway, we have an LGBT center.
Oh, fantastic.
So if you have flyers, I can drop some off there.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Yeah. That would be awesome. Yeah. It's been interesting being here because in kind of my community at home, I've been part of the LGBT community and involved in kind of like, especially like kind of the gay arts scene and things like that. I'm a bit older now, so I'm not so much as kind of bars as I used to be, but I know loads of people and it's a really interesting thing to come to a new city where I don't know anybody and that kind of new kind of thing. So.
Not to toot our horn, but we do know a lot of people. So let's help you out.
Yeah,
no, of course. You know, I mean, there's a lot of local agencies too.
Yeah, so I've had some really, really lovely support from APNH have been lovely, and the Pride Center have
good,
been
perfect.
As well.
I'm
yeah,
happy
so
you're working with them.
I've worked with those and with the LGBT organizations at the Southern State as well. So
and awesome. Expect emails when I'm out in England. Expect
oh God,
me to be
definitely.
Blowing up your phone. I'm like, where are we going, girl? Where are we going?
So, all right. So listen, I know that you were going to mention something.
Yes.
I was just going to say, if you are interested, if you like, it's a really fun conversation as well. The interviews that we're doing. I mean, it's reading these and discussing it. So if anyone's interested in taking part in an interview, I'm here till the end of November, and I'm really flexible around meeting people and wherever people want to meet. It's just Connecticut, so I've kind of had to put some limits around it. But once I leave, if anyone wants to take part,
after but is the survey just Connecticut?
Yeah,
as well?
The survey is just Connecticut. Okay. So the survey is anybody in Connecticut, and the interviews are men in Connecticut.
Now, let me ask you. So you say you're having these, you would like to have these face-to-face conversations with people so that you could have your interviews. Have you considered doing Skype to Skype? Well,
that was about to be my next point. If people don't want to meet up face-to-face, if it's too challenging to coordinate, if they're, some people, having a computer screen between you allows a bit more open conversation for some people. So yeah, I'm absolutely up for, I haven't done a Skype interview yet, but I've got ethical approval from my university in the UK, and kind of it's been through the ethics procedure in the university here. So I kind of, it's all like sanctioned and approved, and Skype was part of that. So
that's awesome. How many interviews are you still looking to find?
So I still need to find about another eight.
Okay.
You can count me.
Excellent.
You can count me. I'm there.
Brilliant.
And where do you do these interviews? In your office?
So I've been doing them in my office, in quiet cafes. Worked really well. I haven't actually done one in Connecticut in a cafe, but I have at home in Liverpool. And it's more because I haven't quite found the right cafe. That's because downtown New Haven is busy.
Yeah, it is very busy.
So finding a quiet cafe, but there's space on campus, or I'm kind of open for discussions of anywhere we can find. APNH were really sweet and said if I needed a room, we could meet there. So there's always that option as well. That's in downtown New Haven.
Well, you can count on me. I'll be sending you an email. Excellent. I can do it between classes. We can
Excellent.
Come in and meet.
I will come to you. That sounds fantastic.
Excellent.
Well, that's also, you know, an amazing experience. You're going to school, and if you ever wanted to do some sort of, you know, dissertation or
well,
any
I got to go for a PhD
project.
Myself eventually. So.
Come to the UK and do it. You can get, like, it's much cheaper than the US.
You don't need to tell me twice. You don't need to tell me twice.
And Chris loves to travel and have different experiences, so I think that would be a really good opportunity.
And I would be happy for him to be there, because his undergrad, having him here, has been stressful for me. So his PhD is going to be far over the top.
Everyone says the undergrad's the hard part. Once you go to grad school and for your PhD, they're like, yeah, that's the breeze. Well, maybe not PhD, but...
You are, I suppose, the difference between your undergrads here is you do so many different topics and subjects.
Yeah.
In the UK, we do... You kind of pick the one that you're majoring in, and that's all you do.
Yeah, you have to do about 2 years of general studies before you can get to the core of your stuff.
So interesting. I mean, we have a much narrower education, so it means that although it's maybe easier because you don't have to do the subjects you're not naturally good at, you have a really, really narrow world.
But what
education.
Happens if you want to say you're halfway through and you're like, I don't want to do this?
Yeah, that's the problem.
And see, that's why I think it's better. No, I shouldn't say better, but why we use that approach here, because there are so many people who change their majors.
Yeah,
I changed my major halfway through.
Yeah. So, but when you're getting your core math and you're getting your core English and all that, you can still fall back on
I think
things.
We're forced to make those decisions at an earlier age.
Understandable.
So, kind of by the time you go to university, you've vaguely picked a path, or you choose something you're interested in and actually what your degree in maybe doesn't matter as much at home. If you have a history degree, you can, as long as you don't want a hard science job, you could use a history degree for
so many things,
so many different jobs.
Oh, cool. We're gonna be talking a lot more, you and I. We're gonna be talking.
All right. So that being said, I first of all, I want to thank you for coming on and sitting with us and telling us about what you're doing in your research and your work. I think that you're gonna do an amazing job. You're very personable. I don't see you having any issues whatsoever engaging our community here. So congratulations on getting here and you know, just hitting the ground with running.
Thank you.
Because I think it's gonna be pretty interesting to see what the results are. You know,
I look forward to. I look forward to her next study of straight up lesbian culture.
Yeah,
because we need that.
Mm-hmm. When I was putting this together and choosing my subjects, I really wanted to focus on something to do with the lesbian community, but I knew I was just making my own life very hard, because recruiting in the lesbian community is, I mean, they've all done what I've done. They've settled down at home with cats. They don't want to go out to us. Yeah.
It was your face that really just like went with that.
You know, it's like, to me, gay men are very easy. I was like, you want to talk about what? You want to talk about? Sure. Is there a cocktail involved?
Mm.
puts it down.
You know,
at least for me.
I know we need to move on, and I know we need to close out the show soon, but I want to ask another question. I want to know if there... So in America, there is this culture and idea that there's this separation between lesbians and gay men and transgender individuals. Is that the same over in Europe? Do you feel that way?
Yes, I think so. In, I suppose, thinking about the communities I'm part of, the kind of gay art side of it is very... So anything that's a bit kind of cultured, that's a bit older, seems to be a bit more integrated. And there's lesbians, there's gay men, there's people who are trans. There's a much more kind of mixed community. But when you go, I think, kind of maybe 25 and under, and if it's to do with kind of bar scene or like nightlife, that feels much more segregated.
Yeah.
So it is similar.
Yeah.
And it is the same in Munich. The two gay bars that we would go to, I don't think I've ever seen a lesbian in there.
No.
At
no.
All.
She's like, no. No. No.
There aren't really, to be fair, the city I live in doesn't have a lesbian bar. We have a monthly lesbian night. Mm-hmm. I'm involved, my friends and I run a lesbian book group, and that's like one of the biggest social things in the city. But if you go to Manchester, which is the big city, the next of which is where the original Queer as Folk was set, if you've seen the British version of that, they have, there's a lesbian bar open all week, and they have much more of a lesbian scene.
I just wish it wasn't so segregated. It doesn't need to be. We're all one community. But anyway, exactly. I digress.
All right, well, listen, that being said, we still have a couple of more things that we need to cover.
So super things. Busy today.
Yeah, it's a busy show. But again, you know, a lot of really good information, a lot of important information. So I want to, again, thank Hannah for joining us. And you're still going to be here for the rest of the show. Mm-hmm. So you might as well chim in with us. Mm-hmm. And we say chim. There's a long story behind that. We'll explain.
It's not the Queen's English, but we'll get by.
Yeah. instead of chime in, we say chim. All right. So listen, we have, of course, today is the 5th, right? Tomorrow's election day. And as always, at the beginning of the month, we always welcome a little snippet from our favorite doctor.
Fuck.
Dr. Evan Goldstein, right? And he always sends us over some information, and it's really valuable. So today, he sent us over some information regarding CBD. And you're going to need to sort of kind of give me the background on this, on CBD.
Just play the clip.
But I'm going to play the clip. So here is from... Does anybody have a knife? Anyway, so here's from top to bottom, Dr. Evan Goldstein.
Hey, y'all. You're listening to From Top to Bottom with Dr. Evan Goldstein.
Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Evan Goldstein from Bespoke Surgical. Tonight on the segment of From Top to Bottom, we are going to be specifically talking about CBD and how we can use it sexually, specifically in the anal region. All right, let's first talk about the common question we get, which is, what are some of the reasons I recommend CBD to patients? I think, you know, you have to think of, from an anal perspective, there are people that can completely take and do not have problems from physical limitations and are basically using CBD to kind of enhance their sexual play. So, you know, whether you're doing it through suppositories or lubricants, there's so much venous plexuses, which is blood vessels in the area that absorb this, that you can really use it to enhance everything. You know, one of the things people ask me all the time is using poppers to kind of decrease the pressure in the area. The problem with using...
I just want to say that CBD is medicinal marijuana oil.
Okay.
All right. Moving on.
All right.
Poppers is that it desensitizes you so much that you actually don't feel trauma in the area. So if someone's actually tearing you, you know, you're in la la land enjoying your world, you won't know until later. Whereas with CBD oils and or lubricants, what you're really seeing is that relaxation in that area that gives you those added benefits, but allows you to feel pain, which, you know, we want you to know so that you can actually decrease your chances of trauma in the area. Another really great use of CBD comes with irritable bowel syndrome. You know, IBS is quite debilitating, specifically for those that really want to engage anally. And you know, CBD, whether it's taken orally, through smoking or droplets, there's so many different ways that you can get that. But the realistic picture is that it really helps modulate these gastrointestinal symptoms. And once we get the GI symptoms controlled, then people feel sexy enough that we can kind of get people back to anal engagement. And then obviously increasing everybody's overall quality of life. You know, also when I see people come to me with anal fissures or tears or hemorrhoids, a lot of the issues are surrounding muscular pressure. So what winds up happening is that it's all a pressurized system. It's so tight there that in order to actually shit or in order to actually engage, you have to kind of break that pressure. And with that comes obviously a lot of sequelae. So, you know, using CBD can also really not only take the anxious effect of all of this, but decrease that localized muscle pressure so that now we can actually get healing of tears, hemorrhoids, and other issues that are surrounding pre-anal engagement, and then obviously after anal engagement. And the key component to all of this is just better overall care. And if we are giving better overall care, it then translates to just better bottoming. Next question focuses on what are some of the other benefits of CBD when it comes to sex? You know, one of the big things is mental relaxation. You know, obviously, especially from enjoying receptive anal sex, you know, it becomes a really learned technique. It's, you know, there are plenty of us, me included, that are not blessed with this neurological skill. You know, how do you fully relax? How do you fully engage? And CBD really can help one achieve that. Also, you know, on the other side, which is, you know, anxiety, depression, mental blocks, also leading to erectile dysfunction. So we can really see that kind of using in that world allows people to kind of relax, enjoy, and kind of creates an appropriate world that then people can achieve where they want sexually. Lastly, since many of us are on PrEP these days, we got recently asked the question of any known interaction between CBD and Truvada. And I think it's a great question. You know, I don't want to get too medical, but there's this pathway of metabolism that's called the CYP450 pathway. And this is the metabolism roadmap of both CBD and Truvada, and it's done through the liver. You know, when someone starts PrEP, we should be doing liver function blood tests to really make sure that there's no interaction that may already exist. And, you know, since CBD and Truvada are involved in that pathway, depending upon the dosing and the timing of both, one may in theory cause a backup. But I don't really know what that truly means in terms of toxic effects. You know, it really has not been studied. So I think one of the good things to do is stagger the dosing. So if you're doing PrEP in the morning, you could do CBD oils later and kind of vice versa. And then periodically just make sure that you speak to your physician to have the liver function tests checked, just to make sure that there are no long-term effects.
All right. Well, the great doctor has spoken in regards to CBD. And I know that, Trish, this was something that you had, you had interest in.
Actually, no. So Dr. Goldstein emailed us directly after we were trying to set up this month's segment, and he has been harping on this because it's become a big thing.
Right.
And what's interesting about this whole thing is I never even thought about this. Like, you can use a marijuana-based oil as a lube, which then makes the experience, I don't know. I actually don't know. I've never experienced it, but I would assume that your anal cavity feels better. Like, doesn't, if you have an issue,
it's going to relax you.
Well, that's because right.
That's what
high.
It is. It's going to relax
right.
Your anal cavity. And,
but it's also like hitting, you have a lot of blood vessels
right,
there.
Exactly.
So it's going right into your blood. So it's going to be a fast acting type of
woohoo.
And it's important. One thing that
reaction.
One thing that's very important that it put out there was with the use of poppers. You know, with the use of poppers, you take that whiff and you feel like you can just go and go and go. You're not going to feel the damage that's happening to that area until later. CBD oils will actually relax the area enough to make penetration easier, But should a problem occur, you'll be able to notice it. And I've been reading about CBD for a while because it can be used for many other things. Mm-hmm. It is not legal in every state, but it can be used for pain relief, anxiety and depression, droplets on your mouth. So you can add it to your food or liquids. It can alleviate cancer-related symptoms, can reduce acne. There are many different things. It has benefits for your health, and it could potentially help with substance abuse treatment. So there's a lot of things that CBD oils can do to benefit the human body. And I highly recommend people starting to look into it, find out if it's available in your state. If you're having anxiety issues, to look into something like that.
Is it available in Connecticut?
I think so, because I know people that are telling me to buy it that I work with.
So I do want to mention, though, Chris does bring up a lot of great points, but please be aware that CBD is not a latex-friendly oil. It's an oil, and when using it, you have a higher risk of breaking a condom.
Okay, that's a good
point. So if you're using CBD oil and condoms, you need to be aware of that. Just putting it out there, because it's not latex-based.
So the condoms are easier to break by using this.
Yes, they break easier with an oil base because of the acidity.
Mm-hmm. Let me toss it over to you.
Anything? Do you use condoms?
So I'm listening to this conversation, and it's really interesting because we are in the UK so behind on medical use of cannabis. Literally in the last week, they've announced that we're going to have very, very limited, very strictly controlled medical cannabis use in the UK, but for a really, really small number of conditions, by very, very limited number of health professionals and specialists. So we have really quite kind of, compared to the US, really old-fashioned cannabis rules. And it's weird because in some ways I think of us as being a really progressive country, but then our cannabis rules and our drug legislation is really behind, I would say. So it's interesting listening to this and knowing friends who've had kind of family members who've been trying to get hold of CBD oil for kind of really serious medical conditions. You can only get it illegally. It's not a thing you can get hold. We don't have kind of medical cannabis use. It's fascinating.
Can't walk into like a dispensary Woods for us or like a Whole Foods and say, "Oh, yeah. I need that."
Well, I mean, it's becoming more and more common in the United States. State after state are passing legislation. Many states offer medical use marijuana, but then there are many states, including our bordering state of Massachusetts, and there's Oregon and Washington, who allow marijuana for recreational use. And if you look at Canada, they were the second nation in the globe to fully legalize marijuana. I think marijuana is going to become more lenient looking, but I also have a feeling that
it's going to be legal here any minute.
I wouldn't say any minute yet, but let's get through tomorrow.
We need the tax.
Let's get through tomorrow, and then we could talk about
medical
marijuana.
I think within the next 10 years, a good portion of the U.S. Be legal.
That's a good timeline. But some part of me thinks is, I wonder if European nations, because a lot of European nations are very strict when it comes to drugs. And I wonder if that was following with the so-called war on drugs that the United States started. So I wonder if they just didn't want to get themselves into such a war, if you will. So they really just hardline no drugs.
Yeah. What I find fascinating is your alcohol laws, and I can't buy a bottle of wine in the grocery store.
Yeah, I know.
Which just blew my mind. Yeah. And we were in, I think, Massachusetts, you can't buy, but we were in a Trader Joe's in Massachusetts a couple of weeks ago, and they weren't selling beer, and I had to go to a liquor store to even buy beer. Mm-hmm. So I could get cannabis, but I can't get beer in a Trader Joe's.
If you go to Virginia, they have actual, like, state own stores. They're called the ABC
a lot of places
that are owned by
I think that's because it's a commonwealth. Is Virginia a commonwealth?
Well, I mean, Florida's the same thing. You have
Florida
ABC
is not
liquor,
okay.
In the UK, alcohol is our big, that's our kind of drug of choice as a country. You can get alcohol everywhere. You can get it cheaply. That's the one that people choose.
Correct me if I'm wrong. True. As a European, it's not, I feel like alcoholism and alcohol abuse in America is way higher because we have so many restrictions, and you can't actually teach your child how to properly enjoy a glass of wine.
I would say Germany and France and Spain drinks responsibly. They drink with dinner. They drink as families. In the UK, we binge drink and we have incredible problems related to health and crime because of it.
I do need to check out the UK.
It's very different from, we're very different from the rest of mainland Europe on alcohol.
I don't mean to go back to CBD, but I think you'll enjoy this for women because there is a benefit for women that it actually increases moisture down there.
Oh.
Wow.
So if that's something that you struggle with, CBD oil can help increase moisture.
Perfect. Put the garden hose down and grab some CBD oil and you're good to go, ladies.
Oh my God.
All right. That being said, I think that we should, for the sake of time, move on.
You
had a goal of ending the show. You had a goal of ending the show on a good note and a happy note. Don't you take 2 minutes and quickly go over what it was that you want to talk about?
All right, I have two things I want to cover really quick, and I'm gonna
you said pick
really
one, maybe.
So
but...
I'm obsessed with Grey's Anatomy. One of the actors who is an out gay male had an article was released because there was this past week there was a gay moment in Grey's Anatomy where two men actually made out, and I really want to elaborate on this and really extrapolate a little bit because there were after the whole makeout session. One of the characters basically said, oh, this was your first gay experience, and then walked away from him. And I thought the way that Grey's Anatomy handled that was terrible because, yes, that happens all the time in the gay community because people don't want to commit to anything, but that shouldn't happen. And it really, really bothered me. At the same time, I'm really happy that I saw a gay kiss on Grey's Anatomy, a makeout, but the way they handled it was completely inappropriate, and I'm actually kind of pissed off about it. So I'm hoping that with this season comes some retribution for this character. Mm. Secondly, there was the cutest ever gay marriage dance. So, like, these two men got married.
That's right.
These two men got married, and they had their first dance, and it was, like, fine and, like, calm, and they were, you know, dancing normally, and then they like fucking did it up. It's like, it's straight up like Fosse got involved and was like, no, we're choreographing the whole thing. This thing was like 6 or 7 minutes long, and they straight up did
there were like 5 songs.
Wait, hold on.
I see one of them in the air there.
What's the movie?
Dirty Dancing.
They did the Dirty Dancing lift, and they did it. No, but they fucking, they nailed it.
They did.
They nailed it.
And they were doing the whole cha-cha-cha, and then all of a sudden they lift up, and he was just hanging in the air, and he was, I mean, straight. I mean.
Yeah, he is. And the crowd is going wild. They're all like,
but what I thought was so amazing about it, yes, that was like an amazing moment when they did that lift, but they literally covered the history of dance in their wedding dance. I mean, they had tap, they had Broadway, they had jazz, they had everything. And they literally were like, culture was brought to you by this community. And
not unicornbooty.com.
No. Well, I mean, unicornbooty.com is important as well. But like, they were like sharing what gay men and women and transgender individuals have shared with the world. In 6 minutes, they were like, we gave you culture. We gave you dance. We gave you life.
We gave you a show. A really, really amazing show.
And literally, that type of dance, that art was...
It was amazing.
Most of it was developed and brought to you by individuals, whether they could come out or not come out. They were brought to you by people that wanted to share art in a way. And they were also most likely, in a lot of cases, homosexual.
No, it was truly amazing. I truly, truly enjoyed it. For me, the best part, because
I'm not gonna say I cried, but I cried.
I grew up with Dirty Dancing. For me, that was just such a like
when that fucking song came out, I was like, oh my God, they're gonna do it, they're gonna nail it. And then they did, and I was like, all I can think, like, I'm like, this went viral. Trish. They either fell or they nailed it. What happened?
Yeah, what did they do exactly? Right, right.
No, it was really an epic moment, and I'm really happy that it came through for them. And I loved it. I loved it.
And
I
they were both super attractive.
I lost a tear too, or two, or three. Yeah, it happened. So, all right. So, thank you for that wonderful start. So, guess what time it is.
What time is it?
It is time for our gay talk term because we are about to bring this show home. So, this week's term is brought to you by
UnicornBooty.com.
Not really, because it's being brought to you by Hannah, who's sitting over here with us.
That's right.
She's going to be reading our Gay Talk term today, of course, because she's our guest.
Okay. So this week's Gay Talk term is brought to you by Hannah and UnicornBooty.com.
Not really.
Follow Queen. Homosexual who shadows his intended for what seems like miles before bolstering up enough courage to say hi.
That was me at like 19.
I like that one.
That was all gay men before dating apps.
That would still be me now if I hadn't found somebody in my 30s.
That is me before four drinks. And then after that, fine. But
you're like, what's your name?
As a guy. If I fall, will you
this
pick me up?
This is my penis.
I would not go right to there first.
Well, unless you were in D.C. and then you take your shirt off. This
There's not a penis. That's not a penis. Chest. That is acceptable.
This is everything I've got.
You did. I'm going to stop.
The DJ liked us.
And you made out with somebody with your shirt off in the middle of. Where was that?
Where were we?
Stop it. Stop it.
I wasn't, was I?
Yeah, you were.
Yeah, you were. Stop
I
it.
Have photos.
Stop it. Anyway, Christopher, on to
you can just go ahead and shut the show down.
Go for it.
Alrighty. On this day in gay history, brought to you, of course, by
UnicornBooty.com.
Not really. Yes, it is.
On this day in gay history, November 5th, 1974, in the great Commonwealth, that's right, Commonwealth of Massachusetts, the first openly gay person to win state-level political office in the United States, Elaine Noble, is elected to the Massachusetts House of Representatives.
That's awesome. And speaking of Massachusetts, so we've talked about this before, but I know that we're going to get to the point where we're going to be a little too late tomorrow to remind you of what's happening in Massachusetts. Election day is tomorrow. They have a question on their ballot.
Question three.
It is to repeal the right for a transgender person in that state to use the bathroom in which they identify as.
I thought it was just a protection law.
Speaking of bathroom, I really got to pee.
So make sure that you vote yes on number three, which is to keep the law that they have currently in place protecting transgender men and women in the state of Massachusetts from being able to you know, just be themselves and who they identify as. So that's very important. And that being said, Trish needs to pee. So if you love the show, make sure that you rate and review on your favorite podcasting service. This helps our show become more visible within our podcasting community. By subscribing to the show, you get the latest and greatest of all this craziness that you see here delivered right to your favorite device or web browser. And you can also support us on Patreon, as most of you already know, watching our live video stream that gives you the opportunity for you to see a lot more than you normally would get in the audio version of the show. Plus, we're super, super appreciative and grateful. And, you know, just anything that you want to donate, anywhere from $1 or more, basically you can do so on a monthly basis. And we just sort of kind of pull it all together and pay for all this craziness that we do in the studio. So, Chris?
Yes, and next week we're happy to welcome back to the show the lovely, the inspirational Allison Hale as Gay Talk kicks off its tribute to Transgender Awareness Month.
And thank you to our guest, Hannah Madden. Am I saying that
right? Yes, that's right.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that was a blast.
Joining us. You're amazing. And it's great to hear about the study. And I hope that everybody can reach out to you and join your study. Also, thank you to Dr. G to tell us all about From Top to Bottom.
That's right.
CBD. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And if you need more information on that, we'll put a link on our post regarding the information. I know that you had an article on CBD, right? Was it you who found one?
Yeah, I have an article on
it. Yeah, we can put that link on there so people can get more familiarized with the actual substance itself, right? At this point, it's something that's really making changes, so we really need to look into it and
looks
enjoy
like
it.
$44 a bottle.
And enjoy it.
All righty. Can we put a rubber on this one,
please?
Let's
put a rubber on.
Hannah, could we put a rubber on this episode?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, or right. Dental dam, whatever we prefer.
Waiting for it.
All right. As always, our show is available on our website, ktalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on
iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces, you can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter, at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at GayTalk 2.0 at gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
And if you need to reach out to us, you can just do so by going right to our website, clicking on the Contact Us tab, where you can leave comments, suggest topics. You can submit a question for the cast or for an individual host, like Chris over here.
Not anymore.
Oh, please.
I know. Them. Trish gets them all. Mostly hate mail, but still.
I take what I can get.
Exactly. Or you can call us and leave us a question via voice message, and we can answer that question for you on the show. The phone number is 334-KAY-TALK, and if you need all the digits, it is 334-429-8255. Do not forget that we stream live every Monday night at 6:30-ish p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you all for joining us. That is our show, and y'all have a good night. Bye!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more Dish. Bounce, bounce.